From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Wednesday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Barn, Neil McCready, coming to you from Clark Ford Studio this morning. Today we'll speak with ESPN writer Chris Lowe. Covers the SEC for a long time now. We'll talk coaching searches with Chris as well as a few jobs and where they rank in the SEC. So you get that interview here in a little while.
Interesting stuff. Yeah. A lot of interesting stuff. Mississippi State fans are going to get mad.
I think so.
But you're going to have to get mad at Chris Lowe, not me.
You just asked the question.
I didn't say
that. Actually, you didn't even bring up the question. He brought up the question.
I didn't even bring up Dan Mullen's name. Chris brought it up in connection with two jobs.
So you get that here in a little while. The podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember, follow the Exxon on Oxford Exxon on Twitter. And on Friday, they will pick three winners of Free Gas Fridays. If you're up in town for the game this weekend, get a free tank of gas. They fulfilled I think the last one from last week yesterday. I saw the picture on Twitter. So follow the Oxford Exxon, retweet it, be clever, and you'll have a chance to win. Also head over to the Oxford Crystal this weekend for the weekend, 49-cent wings. Also get some milkshakes, even though it's a little chilly outside. It's getting to be a tad brisk in the fall air. So
it feels great, except we're now to this place. And let me just the PSA, because I'm here to help. It's chilly out, but it warms up as the day goes on.
It does.
You do not have to crank your heat up in your house. It makes your house, or more importantly, your place of business, uninhabitable around noon.
So
put on a sweater.
So how do you handle the night?
A blanket.
See, I have a different problem. I have an 18-month-old that will not keep a blanket on her.
So y'all are having to crank heat up.
At night I have no choice.
I die. Literally, I will go sleep outside.
Well, like my little camera monitor thing gives me the temperature and has the camera on it where I can watch her at night. And it was like 58 at one point.
All right, are y'all putting the things with the footies on?
Yeah, she's in a full thing.
She's probably warmer than you think she is.
Yeah, I'm not saying she's cold.
Right,
I'm just saying she's colder than normally we would have the house.
Yeah,
because I'm the person that leaves it. I want it really cold in my house all the time.
Me too.
I'll just have 8 or 9 blankets that I'll cover myself with. That's my thing.
I mean, I want to get so naked.
I want to sleep in Antarctica, and then I'll cover myself up to warm myself up.
Yes, I like cold. The whole make it hot thing. I'm out. I got to go outside. Like if they crank the heat up in the house, I'm out.
I think so. You're griping about your own residence right now.
I'm pissed about it. Yes.
You're going to put one of those little glass lock things over your thermostat, aren't you?
Well, it's the whole concept of, well, we just need to take the chill out of the room. I mean, I get it. I do. But the chill, Mother Nature is going to take the chill out of the room.
Yeah. Now that we're done with that, Neil will tell you about Clark Ford, which there are heaters in all the cars at Clark Ford.
At Clark Ford, you can do what you want with the internal temperature of your car. You don't have to crank up the heat. You can crank the air when it's cold. You can be just as defiant as you'd like. All of that at Clark Ford. 662-257-1900. Call that number. I bet that isn't it. You watch. There'll be 10 message board posts about, I like the heat. Shut up. I get that all the time. People are like, if you don't like, I like cold weather, and people drives people crazy that you like cold weather. 662-257-1900 is the number. Go live in Mobile for a year and tell me how much you love eternal summer. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. It's really simple. You can shop the quote if you'd like. You shouldn't. It's a waste of your time. But whatever. Eventually, you're going to let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that is take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience and then make the deal even better. You can save $500 just by telling Corey you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this one. You can mention the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans, which we are taping today, or you can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, which we are taping tomorrow, where Jeffrey Wright and I are going to go on about 10 rants about different things that bother us. And we're going to talk about it and also talk about football and NBA and the World Series and other things as well. Anyway, all of that, Clark Ford, 662-257-1900.
You've scheduled a rant show?
A little bit. Yeah, we're going to.
Shouldn't those be organic?
Well, we haven't talked about what we're going to rant about. We're just going to each air our grievances.
It's October. That's not time to air grievances.
You know what? Kramer's not around anymore.
You make your own rules, can't you?
I mean, there's no rule that says I can't.
What are you mad about? Give me a preview. Well, you're not that mad about it if you got to think about it.
Last night.
Okay.
The Clayton Kershaw-Sandy Koufax thing.
Okay.
I get that everybody loves to compare. And if you're going to make a comparison that says Koufax is better than Kershaw or Kershaw is better than Koufax, if you're not going to give me empirical data to support it, it's just, well, he just is. They were great. They're each great in their own era. And, well, so then people go, well, you know, you don't know what Koufax in his prime, for example, you don't know what his spin rate was. And it's too late to go back and figure it out. We don't have the science to do it. He dominated his era. If you put Sandy Koufax in today's era with all of the technology that he would have at his disposal, he would dominate this era too. Just like if you put Clayton Kershaw in Koufax's era, he would dominate. Sometimes the whole we must rank, we must decide who was better drives me nuts. Babe Ruth would be great today because he probably wouldn't have gone out carousing and such as much.
He would have probably hit in the two hole.
He would have hit second or third, probably second.
My point being, he wasn't some hulk of a man. He was the size of a large middle infielder.
But yeah, but today, I mean, he would have the benefit of strength programs and protein and all the stuff that people do. If you dominated your era, the odds are you would dominate the other era. And vice versa. If you put Bryce Harper back in the 1930s, he would have been a great player. He wouldn't have looked exactly the same because
nutrition's
different.
What if I said I'm going to take all the advanced statistics of today and I'm going to rate Kershaw against his peers and Koufax against his peers, and Kershaw was better against his peers and Koufax was against his?
That would be better.
Is that fair?
That's more fair.
Okay.
The part that
that was the only part of the argument I saw last night, because yeah. I only followed Dylan to get much of this, and he was mostly trolling, but he was arguing that Kershaw is better than Koufax.
Yeah, see, I wasn't even following Dylan's
part. And it was over a six. His argument is that Koufax had a really solid 6 years. He had an apex of 6 years.
Yeah, because he walked away.
And then Koufax, I mean, Kershaw has a longer span, and during even those apexes has higher wars and that kind
right.
of thing during his tenure.
When Jonah Carey tells me, who's in my eyes, one of the top baseball historians around, when he tells me that Kershaw's better than Koufax, I say, okay. But when some people start to try to diminish other people, Koufax was great. I think I've told you this before. It came on ESPN Classic, and I sat here for 3 hours and watched it. It was the Dodgers and the Twins. It was one of the last starts of Koufax's career. It was a World Series start. And you watched the Minnesota Twins, which had won the American League. They're in the World Series, so I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that was a good team.
Okay.
They looked awful against him. No one could hit. It looked like a bunch of little leaguers. No one could hit the ball. I just said, hey, he was great. I think in everyone's rush to rank, there's a battle to diminish greatness at that point that drives
me
kind
also,
of crazy.
The one trump card to this is what you were mentioning with Ruth. Every player today is better than then because of evolution,
yes.
strength,
yes.
everything.
Yes. But the things that made them great then, if you put Lou Gehrig today.
And Mickey Mantle would have been pretty good.
Yeah, and gave them the same benefits that the players have today.
Yeah. You know, from an ability comp standpoint, Mantle still holds up pretty well against guys today.
I'll give you an example. If Gale Sayers had been born 30 years later, they would have fixed his knee.
Yeah.
He'd have missed 9 months and come back and kicked everybody's ass again.
But if he said, I got to take two pitchers from the 50s and 60s and put them in today, who would have the best chance of being very competitive? Koufax and maybe Bob Gibson would be the two off the top of my head.
Yeah. Now, Bob Gibson would probably have to pitch differently than he did then because you can't go high and in all the time in today's Major League Baseball. You'll get the rest of your team killed. And you'll get thrown out of games. They're not going to put up with it. It just stuff like that kind of bugs me a little bit. I don't know why.
I'm shocked.
It bugs me. It's just I don't know why we can't just go – he's great. Let's appreciate his greatness. The NBA is the worst about it. NBA is the freaking worst about who's the best. Is the whole, is LeBron better than Jordan? Why can't we just say they're both awesome? And just admire their greatness and quit nitpicking their games. Because with Jordan, if you listen to the historians, Jordan never missed a shot, man. Never. Dude shot 100% in the NBA Finals. Never missed a shot. Never lost a game. Never lost a Finals game. Do you know that?
There was a couple maybe, but yeah.
Never lost one.
Never.
Never missed a shot.
Well, I mean, the push-off thing was a game six, so probably had to have lost something to get to game
six. But they didn't lose the two games. Okay. They just played a game six. They won that series 6-0.
So why are you anti-Jordan?
I'm not anti-Jordan.
All I'm getting here is you're anti-Jordan.
I like Jordan. I think Jordan's probably the greatest player of all time. I just don't think it's the –
You're telling me Stephen Adams is better than Michael Jordan?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what, Stephen Adams, if someone punched you in the groin that many times, you'd get pissy after a while.
I don't know what you're talking about. But.
Oh, you didn't see that? The Utah game. Utah punched him in the remember Draymond Green?
I do, yeah.
The guy for Utah used to play at Georgia Tech. Joe, I can't think. Big white guy.
Okay.
He took a nut shot at Adams the other day, and Adams retaliated because they fined the Utah guy yesterday.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Yesterday at media availability after Ole Miss's practice, we spoke to Eric Swinney, we spoke to Jordan Tamu, and we spoke to Braylon Elpivido. A video up of Tamu on the site at rebelgrove.com. You can check it out. Ole Miss starting quarterback with his first media appearance since being named the starter in Shea Patterson's absence. Thought he handled it pretty well, so you can check that out on online. As I said, his composure was really good Saturday night. Put into a tough situation, a very fast defense on the other side. He had not attempted a pass at the Division I level to that point. He played in two games, but he hadn't attempted a pass. 7 of 11, even though a drive was kind of – it was against the starters, but it was kind of pre-Vinny. So, you know, it's hard to say exactly what that last drive was or wasn't.
To me, his drive in the second quarter was more encouraging than the fourth quarter.
Well, the second quarter one was encouraging because he understood when to use his feet.
Right.
He moved around in the pocket well. He just didn't complete a pass. MLS maybe won. That was what gives him negatives from that drive.
Right. I guess my point on the fourth quarter one was I'm not taking anything away from it because I was standing down in the field with you and I was like, hey, man, his arm's a little better than I thought it was. He made some good throws.
And Devin White was still in the game. There were still guys in the game.
They were just playing soft. They were
allowing the underneath.
Yeah, we're going to let you drive the field. We're just going to make you eat clock doing it because we're ready to go home too.
Mm-hmm. But he was okay.
No, he was good.
Yeah.
I just don't know what you can necessarily read from that. Although, here's what you can read. It was better that he was good there than that he was – throwing balls all over the place and overthrowing people.
We've seen that before in situations.
I've watched that plenty of times with backup quarterbacks. I just thought the way that he handled himself in the second quarter from a composure standpoint, from a decision-making standpoint, was probably more encouraging from a full game standpoint than what you saw in the fourth quarter because you're not going to see that defense in the first quarter of any game against anybody. They're going to be more attacking.
That's fair.
LSU attacked in the second quarter. and he still made really good decisions. In the fourth quarter, LSU was playing passive prevent. Everything underneath was wide open. Mm-hmm. We're not going to give you anything over the top. We're not giving you anything down the seams. But if you want to run underneath crossing routes, we'll give you 12-yard pickups. We're going to make you work the clock, though.
So I'll get the Swinney stuff to you. With Bradley Dale, it's a lot like Wesley at times this season as well. Defensively, they are what they are. It's impossible to fix right now because they don't have the talent to fix it. Bradley talked about how you got to coach better, about how you just keep working on the same things, and at some point they do improve. And I'm sure there's some merit to that. He was protecting his players last night. We all realized it. I think he realized that we realized it. I think everybody in the room kind of knew what was going on. And again, I don't blame him, but, I mean, I'll be honest here. I did the interview and then got done and thought, I know he is placating here. So it's almost disingenuous to run this. Like, I had a thought in my head where I said, I get it's a coach giving me quotes, and if you want to take him at face value, great. But no one in that room was taking him at face value. And they weren't mad at him. I understand it. And he was fulfilling his obligation. And there's no reason for him to start talking bad about his kids. But you mentioned this. You're right. When he is doing the placate thing and then mentioning that coaching has to improve, it does create a narrative that it is a coaching problem. And that is where this becomes incredibly convoluted as we move forward.
It does. It's insane. There's a group, and I said this yesterday, I'll say it again, I'm not criticizing them. I understand where they're coming from. These are their guys, right? These are the players that play for their school. They wear the uniform that makes their heart beat faster. They're their guys. Admitting that your guys aren't talented enough is hard. It's easier to criticize coaches because coaches come and go, truthfully. No one thinks about, boy, you look back on that, give me a great year in Ole Miss history.
I mean, whatever, 2015.
Okay. You'll remember that as that's Hugh Freeze. And you'll remember Chad Kelly and Laquon Treadwell. You won't remember who the DB coach was. You won't talk about who the linebacker coaches were. Coaches come and go. You'll remember players. Well, and in this case, it's that way. It's all about defending the players. It's the coaching. If this team was coached better, and I said this yesterday, if you're going to do that about coaching, if the reason this defense is what it is coaching, it's a lot of coaches who've been good elsewhere. You have to be willing to say that they all forgot how to coach. At the same time, it's nonsensical. It's about players. There's no way around it. It's not scheme. It's players. There's so much film out there, right? So much. Coaches study film. Coaches are maybe the worst for overworking. 17-hour days, studying film till 2 in the morning. Everyone knows everything the other offense is going to do. Do you think Georgia's coaches are working harder than Ole Miss's coaches?
I think for the most part they all work pretty much exactly the same.
Do you think the Georgia coaches are that much smarter than the Ole Miss coaches? I mean, just the IQs are just night and day different? Because I don't.
It's doubtful.
It's players. And that's hard for fans because those are your players. But it's players. I'm at that point where we're in November. It's as we get into November next week. It's some of the interviews we do are disingenuous.
I mean, you want me to play it?
If you want.
It's up to you. anything else, or you can play it.
I mean, I don't want to make fun of Bradley Dale.
People no, I'm not making fun of Bradley Dale. I'm explaining my thought process from the night.
I'm with you.
I don't blame him at all.
You've seen me just walk away from those interviews sometimes.
Bradley Dale got asked to come in and ask questions about a run defense and a linebacker group that has not been sufficient.
Because there's some people on this beat that are exactly what I just described. By God, why are we not stopping the run? That's what they want to know. I'll tell you why you're not stopping the run. You can't. Stop the run. Who'd you stop the run against? UT Martin? They don't have SEC players. Alabama did to Ole Miss what Alabama did to Ole Miss because Alabama has better players than Ole Miss. Auburn did in the first half against Ole Miss what Auburn did in the first half against Ole Miss because Auburn's better up front. Ralph Webb ran for 160-something, but Ole Miss ran on them because they're not good defensively either.
They're very similar, actually.
Derek Mason did not forget how to coach this year. I don't think. He doesn't look to me like he had a stroke. I don't see any signs of him on the sideline that indicate that his mental faculties are diminished. Do you see it?
No.
Because I don't. Well, the guy was a damn good defensive coach at Stanford. And when he had really good players at Vanderbilt last year, when he had Zach Cunningham, son of a bitch, they stopped people. They don't have Zach Cunningham anymore. He's playing in the National Football League. You replace him with an inferior player, and you take a fall. When you do the coaching thing and you say it's all about coaching, then you have to be willing to explain to me how a coach got significantly worse in 1 year.
Your two options, I think, from best I understand it, are to be very aggressive and hope for turnovers with an inferior team.
Yes.
Or lay back, give a certain amount of cushion, and then try to make tackles at that point. Those are your options.
Hoping that the offensive, if you make them drive 12, 13, 14 plays, that they'll screw one up.
Yeah.
Law of averages.
Yeah. When you have worse players than the other side in that specific category, those are your two options.
But when teams can line up and run the football for 393 yards on the ground, you're not winning because you can't stop them. And it's where Ole Miss's offense and defense, I don't know that they completely match. They jive.
No, there needs to be some type of complement between the two.
Because they end up having the defense on the field too long. Ole Miss's defense gets worn down.
And that's with an LSU team. Yeah, Geis is really good, but an LSU team that struggles in the red zone.
Yeah, because
they really freak out in the red zone.
Their quarterback play's not good.
And their offensive line play's not great. They have young kids up front.
Yeah. The Charles kid was playing high school ball last year.
Yeah. All right, we will go to Chris Lowe in a second.
We can listen to it if you want. I mean,
we might in a minute.
Some people might want to hear it.
Yeah. We'll go to Chris Lowe. We'll come back. We'll go from there with whatever we do after the interview. But before we tell you about that, Master Coast Lawn and Landscape, it's getting cold. Grass is about to stop going, but you can still give them a call, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com, because they do more than that. They can help you out with leaves going on in your yard. You need some pick-me-up. You need some landscaping done. They build structures as in decks and patios and different things that are good to get done this time of year, and also do holiday lighting. So whatever you have from a yard standpoint, still give them a call. They can help you out. Again, mastercutslawn.com, 662-607-7773.
The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application. Rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings. Call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions as short as 4 hours, as long as 12. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch, whether that's speckled trout, triple tail, whatever you want. He can put you there. Call him at 228-348-7817. Visit his Facebook page or his website, TunaChasaCharters.com. Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, and you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749.
Now, Chris Lowe on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a little while since we've had you on, and I appreciate you coming on.
Sure. It's been good to do it.
I mean, I want to get right into coaching stuff because this has a chance to be one of those really fascinating off seasons where a lot of gigs that we didn't necessarily think would be open are probably going to be open. Maybe as much as half the league. Is that too hyperbolic?
Well, I mean, you could make a case that six or seven jobs will open. I don't probably that many. I doubt that many will definitely open. But right now, I could see scenarios. I mean, Ole Miss is open. Tennessee, Arkansas, that's three.
Missouri.
I think Florida. You know, Jim McElwain in Florida. I think that one's not gonna. I don't see him being back there in some way, shape, or in at least some way, shape, or form next year. That's four. What's going to happen to Kevin Sumlin at A&M? Does he get out of there if he wins enough games? Do they fire him? That's five. Missouri is six. I don't think Gus Malzahn's out of the water at Auburn. You know, if they were to lose Georgia and Alabama, I think that situation is a lot like LSU was last year. They may just be waiting for him to lose the right games. And does Mullen get out of Mississippi State? Does he go somewhere else? You know, do they win enough games where this is the year that he gets out and goes, you know, his floor opens or somewhere like that? So you're talking about, what, six, seven, eight, potentially. I'd say the over-under. If you really wanted this, if this is Vegas and we're setting the over-under, I'd say it's four.
Oh, you set the over-under at four? I'd jump on the over.
Yeah, well.
What would you do if I told you?
You make a lot of money, Neil. So you put about $2,000 or $3,000 down on that over right now, man.
So if I told you, Chris Lowe, the over under is 4.5, what would you do?
4.5.
If I made the over under 4.5, would you take the over or the under?
Probably take the under because it never, you know, things happen that we, you know, it's never as chaotic as we think it's going to be. You know. I think Tennessee is probably a definite. Ole Miss going to open. That's two. Arkansas probably, but, you know, I don't know. So that's three. You know what you can't account for, Neil, is a domino effect. So if Tennessee opens or four opens, you know, is Mullen in play at one of those two jobs?
Well, let's start.
So that would be another opening.
Let's start there. Is having another kind of Dan Mullen-type season, and I mean that as a compliment. They win the games they're supposed to win. They rarely pull off the huge upset. They're a very steady program. He hires Jimmy Sexton in the offseason. That's not coincidental. I think you would agree. There's rumblings about Tennessee, that Tennessee is interested in Mullen. Of course, he worked for Scott Strickland at Mississippi State. Scott Strickland's at Florida now. Mullen has some Florida experience as an assistant coach. Do you buy him as a viable candidate at either one of those places? And if so, which one would be more so?
Yeah, I think both of them. I think he'd be on both Tennessee and Florida's list. You know with Florida, the frustration at Florida is geared really toward one thing, is that offensively under both the last two regimes, McElwain, Muschamp, they just haven't been able to score points. They haven't been able to get it right at quarterback. And you're talking about a place that are Spurrier and Meyer. They were, you know, dynamic offensively. And I think the thing that Dan does is, you know, we know he can coach quarterbacks and develop quarterbacks. You know, he's done that right on through. And he scores points. His offenses are pretty good. So I think that's what would be most appealing about him at both places. And I would think if you're looking at it from Dan's perspective, Florida would be a more attractive job than Tennessee. But I think both of those places would have him on their list, Neil. And you're right. He's gone to Mississippi State, and he studied and stabilized that program. I mean, come on. He got him to number one in the country. When in your lifetime did you think you see Mississippi State get to number one in the country with, what, 2 or 3 weeks left in the season?
Yeah, in November. Yes, in November.
Right.
Yeah.
And really, you know, I still think it would have been fascinating that year. Now, they lost Ole Miss, so it was a moot point. But that was the first year of the playoff. And their only loss up until that point was, what, a five-point loss at Alabama?
Yeah.
Would they have gotten in the playoff? I don't know. Probably not, because I still think brand matters, even though nobody in the playoff committee will say that. But, no, he's definitely taken their program to another level, and he's made them nationally relevant. He's been consistent. You're right, not the greatest record. I think his record coming into the season against teams that finished the season ranked in the top 25, again, not when they played, but when the final poll came out, he's only 1-9 against top 25 teams the last 3 years coming into this season. So not the greatest record against the best teams, but I think when you look at Mississippi State and its history and what they've done up until this point, he's certainly elevated that program. And I think because of his offensive acumen and the way he's been with quarterbacks, he's going to be a commodity for a lot of people.
If Mullen were to leave, is there a name or two that immediately pops into your mind as his replacement at State?
I don't know. I mean, I would say they'd probably do what they've done in the past, and that's go, what would they do with him? Is go try to find the coordinator that, you know, is the hottest guy. Or, you know, with Norvell. I mean, of course, he may be a candidate at both Ole Miss and Mississippi State if Dan were to leave at Memphis. You know, he's another guy offensively. He's done a really nice job. And you look at what they're doing. I was at their UCLA game this year. The second or third week of the season, and was really impressed with what he's done. Chris Valley Ferguson and Anthony Miller are one of the better pass-catch combos in the country. But he's another guy that's got a really impressive offensive background, runs a good offense. I think he'd be a possibility at both places.
All right, let's talk about Ole Miss for a second. I want to get to Gus Malzahn and Auburn, Arkansas in a moment too, because that rumor is kind of starting to fly around some. You mentioned Norvell. Norvell's name comes up with Ole Miss a lot. It comes up with Arkansas a lot. You're right. It would come up with Mississippi State. What names do you hear? And I know it's still early because the penalty hasn't come down, and Ole Miss can't really have a substantive conversation with anyone until a prospective candidate knows what the penalty is or isn't. But are there some names that you hear more often than not connected to the Ole Miss job?
Well, other than Norvell, maybe Blake Anderson. Would be another one. You know, I've heard his name a little bit. Wouldn't that be odd?
Go back to Arkansas State, yeah.
No, back to Arkansas State. But I don't think you hold that against the guy at Arkansas State now. I mean, I just think it's more, you know, I don't think that's a reason. If he's your guy, I don't think it's the reason not to do it, you know, just because, you know, the last guy came from there. That would be another one. I think, would a guy like, you know, would you talk to a guy like Chad Morris? You know, would he be willing to leave SMU? I mean, that's a call I would make, certainly. What about Brent Venables at Clemson, their defensive coordinator?
That name's come up, yeah.
Defense and not offense.
I've heard that name. I've heard Cliff Kingsbury's name. I mean, you hear all sorts of names in these deals.
Yeah. Again, a lot of times it's what are you looking for? Who's a fit? You know, and I think the inclination more now, Neil, is to go offense if you can. But defensive guys have been pretty successful. You know, you look at the last, I don't know, some of the last few hires, and a lot of those guys have been defense-oriented, you know, and they've done okay. I mean, Gary Patterson's of course, he's not one of the recent hires, but he's a good example of a guy who has a defensive background. But he really has sort of reinvented himself here recently because he's brought in guys to run the offense and let them go at it. And they've had a lot of success doing that. But no, I think that, yeah, Kingsbury's another guy. I mentioned Venables. You know, they would be certainly guys I would call What about Greg Schiano at Ohio State, another defensive guy? But
his name's come up, too. Guy with some coaching experience, yeah.
Coaching the NFL. So, I mean, those are guys who are going to be in a lot. And your initial point at the outset of our conversation is right. I mean, there's going to be a lot of competition this year for head coaches because I think there's going to be a lot of openings, not just in the SEC, period. Nebraska's probably going to be open. Some of the jobs, though, that I thought might be open out west that would create more of the domino effect, Arizona State. Well, those, Arizona State have started playing a lot better. You know, for guys like Rich Rod and Todd Graham, you know, maybe they hang on. Those were places where, and UCLA is another one I think can very well be open, you know. But those, all three of those places were jobs that I could have seen guys like Kevin Sumlin, if he wanted out, Jim McElwain, going out west and to one of those jobs. But maybe they won't, as many of those jobs may not be open as we initially thought.
Take a quick break in our talk with Chris Lowe. Today, the podcast is brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old this year, and all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, also a leader in condo financing. So get that float down option where you lock in your current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find Jason Lowe at 662-234-2704 or JLowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Vitamend. Vitamend is at 3010 Old Taylor Road in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments. It's next door to LaPel's Dry Cleaning. Still the same IVs and shots as before, but they've added the cryo sauna. They've added the infrared sauna. They still have all the packages you're used to, the combo packages, the detox, the recovery package. It's all there. The overserved package where you can even combine the overserved with the cryo sauna, take some inflammation out that's causing those headaches. The smoothie bar is there now, all natural foods, no added sugar, locally sourced. It's the same number as always, 662-638-3600. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, IVs and shots, Friday through Sunday. Call ahead, make sure they have someone there, and then go in and enjoy Vitamend. It's info@vitamend.com. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance, but did you know State Farm has a bank which allows you to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance properties. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry if you do. If you need another reason, go to Google, check out Romero Miller State Farm reviews. Read those carefully, and then you'll realize that's where you need to be going for your insurance needs. It's Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. All right, there's some rumblings already. I mean, obviously Arkansas comes here on Saturday. I'm sure that you and most of the national media will be here for the 11 a.m. kick. Bielema's in trouble. I mean, I was on Bo Mattingly's show yesterday where he said, you know, if Arkansas loses, it's really a path to salvage it is hard to find. If Bielema's not at Arkansas next season, is Malzahn a natural fit for them? I mean, he's an Arkansas guy. I think Auburn would like to move on from Malzahn. I think Malzahn would probably like to move on from Auburn if everyone was being completely honest. There's probably a way to get around buyouts and things like that if he were to go to Arkansas. Do you see that happening, or does Arkansas have to go a different route?
No, I think it's possible. And I think for all the reasons you laid out, that's home, you know, to Gus and his wife Christy in Arkansas. And I don't think that's any big secret. Plus, you know, look at it from Gus's perspective. I mean, you go to another SEC job and you get to restart your clock. You know, so you got another, four? I mean, even by today's standards, you're probably going to get 4 years. I don't know, sometimes just three. But probably realistically, you restart the clock and you have 4 years to build it. Whereas at Auburn, I think that situation is a little bit like LSU. And listen, Gus isn't naive. This isn't his first rodeo. You know when there's sort of a line to maybe get you. And I think they're just looking for an opening, for him to lose the right games. to maybe do that. The other thing at Auburn, too, that's got to be unnerving if you're a head coach, Gus, or anybody, is I think there's going to be a change at AD as well. I don't see much of a scenario where Jay Jacobs survives at AD there. So who's going to be your next AD? When's that going to happen? Who's it going to be? What's sort of going to be his take on you as a head coach? It's going to be a new boss. I'm not sure that Jay and Gus are on the best of terms anyway, but still, the unknown sometimes is worse than the known if you're a head football coach. So I think that's another factor in this whole thing that could potentially, if that Arkansas job does indeed open, could push Gus back home to Arkansas. So no, I think that is absolutely a scenario that to keep an eye on, Neil.
I think it was 19 years ago today, Bill Oliver coached his first game as Auburn's interim coach. I say all that to say that I've been around that program a long time. There are times when that program, the Auburn job's a great job. There are times when I'm not sure the Auburn job is a great job. Now's one of those times that, Chris, I know Auburn, look, it's an awesome place. It's one of my favorite places in the league. Great tradition, all of that stuff, fan support. But when Georgia is where Georgia is today and Alabama is where Alabama's been for the past decade, Auburn gets squeezed a little. If that job's open, in comparison to some of the other jobs in the league, how attractive is Auburn to a prospective coach?
Well, I think it's probably – people ask me all the time to rank the job. I'm sure you get that question too. I think it's about fifth or sixth in the league. And, they've done some things there on campus. They built the dorm, yeah. New dorm. The cafeteria is very nice. Built the indoor several years ago. But that football complex has been there for, 25, 30 years? And you look at other teams' complexes around the league, and you're talking about Taj Mahal's. That building's old, and I think that's the area where they don't stack up with some other schools that you're talking about. And some of the money you talk about reinvesting in your program, I think that's an area where they probably need to reinvest is building a new football complex. You got the big red elephant there in the state, which is bigger than it's ever been, and Saban in Alabama. That's certainly something to consider. But I still think it's a good job. There's a lot of tradition. How does it compare to Georgia, which, you're recruiting a lot. You're knocking heads with Georgia a lot on the recruiting trail. I don't think it's as good a job as Georgia. I think Georgia's one of the top 5 to 7 jobs in college football.
Yeah, I do too.
When you look at the state they recruit to and some of the other things. So, yeah, it's probably comparable. The Auburn job to me is comparable with Tennessee. I think, Alabama's a better job. Georgia's a better job. Florida's a better job. Georgia, Florida, Alabama, LSU's a better job. A&M, I don't know. So I'd say Auburn's right there around 5th, 6th, or 7th when you start ranking jobs in the league.
Yeah, A&M's a weird job. I hadn't figured that one out. How good's the if it's a 1 year postseason ban? If, in other words, if a new coach comes in and there is no postseason ban, people keep talking about 1 year postseason ban. If that's all it is for a new coach, there is no postseason ban. That the whole bowl ban thing is immaterial to a new coach. If they kind of quote win end quote with the COI, has the Ole Miss job as the brand been damaged to the point that they're not going to be able to get the kind of coach that they otherwise would have gotten? Or would a new coach look at it and say, because of the way that the previous regime ended, I'm going to have a level of popularity and security that perhaps I wouldn't have had if I'd been replacing a beloved Hugh Freeze?
No, I don't think if the sanctions aren't that punitive, Neil, they don't, for instance, like you say, they don't get a second year of a ban and just get hammered on scholarship losses, then I don't think because of the NCAA cloud, I don't think that scares away a lot of people because they're going to be able to come in with a fresh slate. Because you're right, the only ban so far is this year, so that doesn't affect the new coach. Leadership, is Ross still there, the AD? I think that's, because I think even though Ole Miss is in the position it's in, I think most people I talk to, I think that, that his leadership, at least from the football coach's perspective, because he stood behind you. Say what you want to, but he stood behind Hugh Freeze pretty staunchly. But the administration did. So I think that's probably helps whoever it is. And listen, facilities at Ole Miss are great. I mean, the indoor is awesome. And I think a lot of people who haven't been there don't realize that. If you haven't been to Ole Miss and you just sort of assume, well, their facilities are okay. But no, they're really good, really nice, and compare very favorably, to other schools. So they've done it, recently. They played at a top 10, top 15 level. So much like Arkansas when Petrino was there. Remember in 2011, Arkansas was, in the final BCS standings before the last one. I think they were three. They went to LSU that year and played LSU that game right after Thanksgiving. LSU was one, Alabama was two, and Arkansas was three. And same with Ole Miss. Ole Miss won just a few years ago. They won the Sugar Bowl. And had a run there where they beat more ranked teams. I think if you looked at Hugh's first, I don't know, how long was he there, 5 years?
5 years.
Okay, so his first 3 or 4 years, not counting his last one, they beat more ranked teams than anybody in the SEC, not named Alabama. So they've had some success recently, and I think that appeals to whoever would come in there as well.
Okay, last thing, and you've been gracious with your time. I really appreciate it. The quality of play in the league, you have Alabama that's this great team. They're great. They just line up and beat the hell out of everybody, kind of however bad they want to, week after week after week. Kirby appears to have really turned the corner at Georgia. They look like one of the top 5 or 6 teams in the country beyond debate. The rest of the league, though, Chris, not particularly good. Is it because Alabama has beaten everybody down, or is the coaching down? What is it about the SEC that, at least to my eyes, there's just not a lot of really good football?
Well, I think you can't ignore the Alabama factor, the Saban factor. I think that there's something to that. Like they've run off and left everybody. And when you do that, it makes everybody else look maybe not quite as good. And I think the coaching is part of it. You've got a lot of veteran coaches in the league that lack of a better term, they just ran them off. Guys who were good and proven and won championships, Miles, Fulmer, Rick, right on down the road, right on down the line, the people. And then Meyer left, in 10. So when you look at what the head coaching lineup was, Spurrier left, got tired of it and basically said he could. Time for him to exit stage left. So look at when the league was winning all those championships, where they went 7 in a row, and they played for, I think they went 8 straight years, they either won one or played for one, from 06 to 13, when Auburn lost to Florida State out in L.A. in 13. So look at the head coaching lineup then compared to what it is now. That's not to say that it's necessarily bad, but I just don't think it's established or it's proven or it's seasoned. Or as veteran, maybe, as it was back then. I think that's part of it. Other leagues have caught up. And I think it's probably the standard that we, when I say we, those of us who covered the league for a long time and fans of the league, we think back to that run, Neil. And it's human nature to do this.
Sure.
Gosh, they won 7 in a row. They played for 8 in a row. 4 different teams won championships. See, it wasn't just Alabama won. Remember, LSU won, Auburn won, Florida won, and Alabama won. And if you go back to the late 90s, Tennessee won in 98. LSU won another one in 2003. So, you go back 20 years and, 5 different teams in the league have won national championships. I think what's happened, though, is the other leagues have gotten better. Look at the head coaching lineup in the Big Ten now. Think about that. Meyer, Harbaugh, Antonio, James Franklin, Paul Chryst. It's gotten better. Same with the ACC. So I think other leagues have caught up. And we probably have held the SEC to a standard because of that run that's not realistic. I mean, no league is going to do that again. I don't think you'll ever see that happen where over a 7 or 8 year stretch, one league wins a national championship and four different teams do it. I just think that's a standard that was almost like the bubble in the real estate market several years ago. You know, we're not going to see that again.
Well, Chris, always fascinating to talk to you. You're one of the most plugged in guys in all of college football, so I appreciate you taking some time because things are about to get interesting here and other places. Love to talk to you a little later in the month of November when things do indeed heat up.
You bet, Neil. It's always a good catching up, man.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Thanks to Chris for joining us today on the show, a show that was brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They've got Sildenafil. It's the $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill. Gets you ready in as little as 15 minutes with the same length of effectiveness as the other guys. Just head over to TysonDrugs.com, fill out the form, or give them a call and give them your doctor's name. They'll get the prescription ready and even deliver it to you if you are not local. 662-252-2321 or TysonDrugs.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account anywhere. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. OUB offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. His website is gotland.com. That's got-land.com. If you're a buyer, Michael has the biggest land inventory in Mississippi. There's a reason for that. People love to list with Michael Oswalt and with Tom Smith Land and Homes. If you're thinking about selling, if you're on the fence, if it's in your future, he'll come to your home, tell you what he does, market your property, and he'll get it sold for you. If you're on the fence or you're ready to sell, just call Michael. He's ready to work for you. He's going to put his money where his mouth is. He's going to market your property, and he's going to get it sold. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
So, all right. Again, one more time. Things get misconstrued. Not really in the mood for that today. I'm not making fun of Bradley Del Pivido. He did exactly what is very whatever in that situation. It's fine.
Can I interrupt?
Sure, yeah.
There are some, I'm not particularly popular among the beat, so what difference does it make? The difference between someone disliking you and despising you is so minute that who cares? There are some on our beat and every beat. And no, I'm not talking about Chuck. Before anybody thinks I'm talking about the Ole Miss spirit, this is not about the Ole Miss spirit. But there are some that are so stubborn about the coverage plans. We're going to write about football. We're going to write about the defense this week. I'm going to do a linebacker story today because I'm doing a linebacker story today. That there's an inflexibility and there's an inability to say, you know, this isn't a normal season. This is a different year. There's other stuff going on. I'm going to give a few people the benefit of the doubt. I know the answer to this. I'm either going to just sort of write it, voice of God, or I'm going to leave it alone. But they're locked into their way. They have stories written, and they're inserting quotes into said story to get done. And in years like this, that stuff just things that grate me, that grates my nerves.
So here's the interview from last night. Here's what I heard, and then this caused me to have the internal dialogue of what to do with it. So this is the interview again. Linebackers coach Bradley Del Pivido from last night.
Who are the bigger bodies y'all going to put on the field this week?
The bigger bodies?
Yeah, that was Wesley was talking about that Monday, wanting to get some.
Man, y'all going to have to wait and see. It's going to be a surprise.
Stopping the run. And Arkansas is going to come right at you, I'm sure.
Right. They do. They do a good job.
So what do you got to do differently? I mean, what do you got to do to?
You know, we got to do a good job of as a defense, just fitting our gaps and do a good job of tackling. And we'll do that. We're getting better.
If you play the gap drinking game, you're so drunk right now.
The season to get some of that stuff going in your direction.
You know, just got to coach it better. You know what I'm saying? We got to coach it better, got to work it better. And that's all of us. You know? And, you know, our guys are giving great effort. I think Prime has had great plans we've put together every week with his leadership. And, you know, sometimes things just take longer. You know, a fit here, a fit there, a guy here, a guy there, a DB here, a linebacker here, a D lineman there. You know, it's been one of those kind of years. If a linebacker's out of his gap, it seems like they hit it. If a D lineman's out of his gap, they hit it. If a DB is not in the right fit, they hit it. You know, it's just been one of those years for us. And what we do, we come back and we keep working and we keep practicing. And we've had great game plans. I think Wesley McGriff, Crime Dog, has done a great job with our game plans each week, and he calls a great game. We're playing very hard. If you look at the end of that LSU game, man, we were populating the ball and swarming. You know, we just sometimes things don't get fixed or don't come to fruition, so to speak, as quickly as you want it to. And, you know, we're getting there. That's all I can say. We're getting there, and it's been fun working to get there. And we will get there.
Coach McGriff said yesterday he thought Jerrion Street and Marcus Gates might be your most athletic linebacker combination. Do you agree with that?
They're both very athletic guys. You know what I'm saying? They are. You know, Gates has played very well this year. Street has played very well when he's been in there. He got concussed a couple of weeks ago against Vandy, and we got him back. So we'll look forward to getting him on the field this week.
How's he feeling right now?
Good. I thought he had a good day today, and he's back meeting, working, and this was his first practice back. So we feel good about him. You know, I thought he looked good today.
How do you generate success, confidence for your group when you know the effort's there against the run, but the results kind of haven't been?
You know, I think that's kind of the magic of coaching sometimes, you know what I mean? And it's great leadership. And to be honest with you, it's great leadership starting with our head football coach. You know, he's done a great job of leading through through tough times. And that's not always easy. A lot of times it's easy to lead when things are going well. And our head football coach has done a great job of leading our team and us coaches. He's done a great job of that. And Wesley McGriff is a great leader, too. He really is. He's done a great job. You don't panic, you know. And we've done a great job on Sunday with our meetings, watching tape together as a unit. We do that so everybody in the room sees the issues. And we're all together. We're all putting the rope the same together, the same way together. And, you know, that's how you do it. And I think when you stay together, you don't panic. Nobody's pointing fingers. Everybody sees the issues. And when you meet together, every position sees, hey, it was some of the D-line, it was some of the linebackers, it was some of the secondary. You know, and we just stay together, man. It's what you got to do. You circle the wagons and you keep working and you keep coaching and you keep practicing. And all of a sudden you look up and things are just like you want them to be. And that's what we're doing.
So, again, he was protecting his players last night. I just didn't know what to do with it.
No, you did the right thing. It wasn't particularly usable. It's not his fault. I asked Wesley McGriff, you can see the video the other day, I asked him, are you talented enough to do what you're trying to do? And he bristled at the question. And the bristle gave you an answer. If you're honest with yourself. Sometimes I don't know why it would be tough for a coach to say, obviously, in an ideal world, we would have a little more size. We'd have a little more speed. In an ideal world, we'd have a little more depth. Obviously, as a program, we've got to step it up in recruiting. We've got to add some people that bring that size speed ratio. That being said, guys, the kids that we have are working their tails off, and we're real proud of them. I don't know what would be wrong with that answer.
Did you see where the SC offensive line coach got all bristly yesterday?
Southern Cal?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Hold on. Somebody put a transcript up. Let me find it. It's Neil Calloway. He used to be at UAB.
Oh, yeah. I remember him.
You know Neil?
Oh, yeah.
Is he a pleasant guy?
Can be.
Can be pleasant?
Can be unpleasant.
This is the complete transcript from his interview yesterday. Talking with media after USC got demolished on Saturday.
Okay.
Why does it seem like you haven't been able to get five guys working as one? Answer. Who says we didn't? Question. You've had physical beats up front? Answer. And that's your opinion, right? Question. It is. It's also what the tape says. Answer. You've answered the question. You answered it. You answer it then. Question. So you think the line's been playing well? Answer. I didn't say that. Question. Well, if Clay's saying there have been physical beats, why do you think that hasn't been the case? Answer. All right, let's call this thing off. We'll see y'all.
I don't need to go further. I'm going to end up saying stuff that just makes people mad. There's an ex. See, I do this, and then you stay quiet, and I end up saying.
Well, I was about to speak. I was taking a breath.
There's an expectation among the people that we cover, I think, at the college level, that because they're college kids, because it's a college program, that there is no criticism, that there's no critical analysis.
You know, but the difference is, I'm actually glad we did both these today.
Okay.
Bradley Del Pivido gave answers.
He did.
I didn't necessarily agree with them as far as, I think if you had truth serum in Bradley's head, it's not the answer he would give. But he protected kids. He gave answers. He fulfilled the interview.
He's a really nice guy.
He's a great guy.
Who probably asked Kyle Campbell or whoever went to get him, why are they asking to speak to me? Because in fairness to him, he's probably thinking, they know I can't answer the question.
But the difference in that in Neil Calloway is Neil Calloway is probably a millionaire based off coaching at this level.
Yes, for sure, unless he's been a complete idiot with his money.
Fulfill your freaking obligation.
Yes. Agreed.
Answer the question. I don't care how you answer it, but answer it.
Yeah, we got beat up front.
Stay there. Answer the question. Blame it on yourself. Blame it on the kids. Blame it on the Easter Bunny. I don't care. But sit there and answer.
I hate the Easter Bunny. Totally.
He's really bad in pass pro.
A totally overrated holiday mascot.
He's really bad in pass pro. Doesn't pull very well.
Hate the insistence on all the fake grass in the basket.
Is it a male or a female?
I don't know.
Or is that interchangeable?
I guess maybe it's different.
Be careful now with little Johnny.
Different
and
bunnies.
Susie.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
You've had dealings.
Yeah, but I've never dealt with the Easter Bunny.
As opposed to Jimmy the Elf.
Jimmy's a male.
Yeah.
I know Jimmy.
So it's Jimmy, not like Jimmy Ann or?
It's Jimmy.
Okay. Just wondering.
He's an elf. Lives at the North Pole.
No, Calloway is the one being an idiot here.
Yes.
Everybody can see. Your own head coach used a term, and then you argued with it.
You're at USC, and one of the things that you use in recruiting is how much coverage your program gets.
Yeah.
One of the things you
how
say...
How open you are.
One of the things you say at USC is, hey, man, you're going to come here. There's going to be a lot of stuff written about you. You're going to get a lot of publicity. A lot of people are going to know who you are. You're almost going to have celebrity status in Los Angeles. Okay, well, coming
yeah,
with
we're
that,
more popular than the Rams.
Yeah, coming with that is that when you get your ass beat, there's going to it's funny. Nobody ever complains when they're 12-0. Nobody ever says, "Man, you guys are writing a lot of nice stuff." Well, Saban does. Saban complains. Right, no one other than Saban says. You guys are writing way too much nice stuff about us. You guys, really, you put 10 extra column inches in that feature on our wide receiver.
That was not necessary.
It was not necessary. Why did you call his high school coach and get the glowing quote?
Well, he's dropped 12 balls this year.
You should have seen him Tuesday in practice.
He sucked.
He was going through the motions like you. We had to jump him about, hey, give us some effort here. Why didn't you write that? Funny, that doesn't happen. No, Pivoto would have been forgiven in my eyes if he'd walked in the room and said, guys, before we go on the record here, what is it you want me to say? I mean, you asked for me, I'm here.
We'll do the song and dance.
And we'll dance here if you'd like. You can lead, I'll lead, we can do whatever. You know, Dancing with the Stars is a popular show, so we can play our game of dancing with the linebacker coach. But what do you want me to say? I think that would be a fair question if he asked it. What is it that you want me to say? You know I can't tell you the truth, and you know that I know that you know the truth. I'm not going to rip these kids. They're good kids. I coach them. It's not their fault. As I've said many times, it's a testament to Taylor Polk that he keeps showing up and getting on the field.
Kids doing that without a scholarship.
Yeah. That is a testament to that young man.
Oh, he ought to win an award.
But it doesn't make him an SEC linebacker. Not his fault that he's not 6'3", 230.
It's not his fault that the other dudes can't beat him out.
No.
They're not playing the worst dude.
Absolutely not. It's a testament to him.
Yeah.
It's also an indictment on the program.
Yeah.
It can be both. And some of the people that keep asking these questions, they know the answer, so what? I don't know. It bothers me, frankly. I'm having a day where I'm easily bothered.
You're bothered about the temperature today.
That bothers me. You know the answer.
It's kind of funny.
I actually liked my question better. Are you talented enough to do what you're trying to do?
World Series over in less than 3 hours last night. Quick game.
Well, both pitchers were really good. That helps. Plus, it was so hot there that they might have been wanting to get done. Did you see it? 104 in Los Angeles yesterday? Heat wave.
104.
It was 102 at first pitch.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So, good night for college baseball last night. Saw the stat last night. 18 of the 25 guys on the Dodgers World Series roster played college baseball. 18 of 25.
Wow.
29 of the 50 for both teams.
So, Arkansas had two players in the World Series, Logan Forsythe and Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah. Good players.
Keuchel's good, yeah. Forsythe's a nice player.
Keuchel was always good. If he'd have told me he's World Series ace, I would have been a little shocked. I didn't know if he had that kind of ceiling, but he was very good. Hard to translate that sometimes. You
never know.
Boring like Steven Strasburg or something.
Well, you also sometimes don't know how physically a 21-year-old will be different when he's 25. There is still some growth, some filling out. Will he add a little velocity?
I guess you could argue, and I'd have to look at numbers, this is just off the top of my head, that the new CBA is working for college baseball. If you're a great prospect, you're still signing, but that mid-level guy is going to college now.
Yeah.
The slot system and things are working better.
Well, and I think honestly, the professional organizations
trust the college players more, or even college managers more.
You know, like the college programs, they like the fact that the kids are more well-rounded. Yeah, there's a lot of guys that we've talked about this before. That you're 18 years old, and all of a sudden you're away from home, and you're riding buses, and you're in hotels, and or in this case motels and stuff. It's miserable. A lot of those guys, they mentally can't handle it, as opposed to getting into a college program where there's a lot of structure, especially now that there's more scrutiny on use of arms.
I was about to say, other than a couple programs, most staffs are very, very cognizant of arm issues.
And they're protecting guys better, as they should.
Yeah.
The arm damage now is done in the travel ball.
Yeah, it's not college coaches.
College coaches are very careful with the way they use arms.
Yeah.
So. Protect them. Which and And they should. I mean, guys don't need to be throwing 148 pitches on a Friday night. No. They really don't.
You'll get a Billy's Pecans soft verbal podcast tomorrow. Also, a beer garden with Jeffrey coming your way this week. So, just reminders there.
The podcast today has been brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. Complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, tell Gene and Sandy Grass that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. If you're coming up this weekend for Ole Miss Arkansas and you are thinking about a second home, condo, the market's great for it right now. Don't take my word for it, but don't also listen to the people that say it's a bad time. No, the numbers say it's a really good time. Get in touch with Harry. It's HarryAlexander.com, HA@HarryAlexander.com. I believe, is it tonight or tomorrow night, soccer against Alabama?
It's Thursday night. Senior night.
Senior night, Ole Miss and Alabama soccer. This group's had a lot of success with Matt Mott and his staff. Go out, support them. Admission is free. And then, of course, tickets available for Ole Miss Arkansas, 11 a.m. Saturday, OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com.
Yeah, Ole Miss soccer. It's a top 25 RPI match. I think Ole Miss is 25. Alabama's 21.
Yeah,
I
think that is right.
Both teams in pretty good shape, obviously, for an at-large berth in the NCAA field. But
the Ole Miss leaves Friday for Orange Beach for the soccer tournament.
That's right. It's been in Orange Beach for a while now. I think they take 10 teams.
I'm thinking about just going down next week and covering that.
Covering that soccer tournament.
Oh, so just leave the rest of it to you.
You know, the golf team's going to Hawaii tomorrow, so you really need something covered. I mean,
you should go golf. I'll go to Orange Beach.
They're going to Hawaii. They'll be in Cabo here in a few weeks or months.
Oh.
Yeah. The women's golf team did win a tournament, I think, at Kiowa yesterday, somewhere over in that direction. So
saw that.
Congrats to Corey and Drew and those guys. So,
looking back on it, I should have started swinging a golf club and not done anything else.
Think so?
They get better trips. They get cool clothes.
They do get better trips and clothes.
Yeah. Well, that's more important than a lot of the other crap.
I mean, if you happen to get on the full ride for a golf scholarship and things, it's probably
worst ways to live life. When was the last time a golfer got hit by a defensive lineman? When?
I mean, your only danger would be some other golfer hitting you with a golf ball.
Right.
You might jam your wrist in the rough occasionally or something.
You could. I mean, you got to be tough.
I mean, Tiger's had like 8 surgeries.
Yeah.
He's back, by the way.
Is he?
Good for him. He's putting little videos up of him hitting. Starting to get everybody a little excited.
I'd watch.
Huh?
I'd watch.
Tiger?
Yeah. Not with the interest that I would have had
years
ago. I just
want him to be competitive. He's not going to really win again, but just come back and be competitive.
Oh, the thought of him going down in Augusta on the last day at the top of the leaderboard is intoxicating. I'd watch.
That's the one course, though, in a major where he'd have a shot. If he was back healthy and could – he's a great putter. That's not penal from a driving standpoint because there's no rough.
It'd be must-watch television.
If you told me that he competed somewhere again, I would guess Augusta.
I get tired of people beating him up. It's funny. People beat him up. And, okay, so he's not the first person to have an issue with some painkillers and stuff. That's kind of a problem nationally.
Yeah.
You know? But he gets held to a different standard than other people do because of it. It drives me crazy a little bit.
Yeah. Also, speaking of golf, last thing, congratulations to Kevin Weeks. He's been on our show a good bit, one of the friends of the podcast, number 42 in a Golf Digest top 100 teachers in the country.
So. Speaking of, he sent me a message.
You gotta get some lessons?
He said he would either come down here or I could go up there.
Go to Chicago.
I know.
He's a Cock Hill.
I know. He told me he'd give me some lessons.
Well, you need lessons.
So I'm thinking
Mike can make this happen.
I'm thinking that justifies a trip to Chicago, right?
I mean, you're raising money. We're giving money away here.
So I'm saying.
It's charity.
I could go up to Chicago, work on my golf game.
Just work on your golf game?
I mean, I might work on some other stuff too, but I'd work on my golf game.
Yeah. I'm going to get that done. I'm going to work on it here in a little while.
When are we planning on doing this?
I don't know. In
the spring?
No, I want to do it much sooner than that.
Oh, okay.
Also, the courses will be more empty with the cold weather.
Oh, that's true.
You wait for the spring and it gets
so I need to go up to Cog Hill soon.
Yeah, you need to get you need lessons soon here.
Okay.
We're gonna do a thing where we're gonna
give me a rough time frame so I can get myself mentally prepared.
Well, I mean, how soon could you do it? I mean, it's more on you than me.
I don't know.
All I'm doing is organizing some charity stuff.
I mean, I could go to Cog Hill a couple of weeks.
I mean, I'd like to do it within a month, yeah. That's kind of the hope here.
Okay.
All right. I'll let you guys know kind of what I'm thinking there as we move forward.
But now might be a really good time to go up to Chicago and hit some golf balls, right? 40s, 50s.
Well, you don't want to wait too much longer. It gets.
I realize it gets colder. Yeah.
It gets pretty.
And I got to get my wardrobe prepared for the day.
He's going to wear like knickers or something. I don't know.
Well, you know who my favorite golfer ever was, right?
Payne Stewart?
Absolutely.
You can't wear the little hat.
The hell I can't. Why can't I?
Oh, God.
Why can't I wear the hat? Give me one good reason.
Well, no, you can't.
It's a free country. If I want to wear the hat, I'll wear the hat. Wear the knickers with the long socks.
I mean, you have nothing. You have no shoes, no clubs, no bag, nothing.
No.
There's not a golf ball in the house.
Not that I'm aware of.
Might be one somewhere the dog drug up.
I mean, I guess Gus might have found one on a walk.
Well, we'll talk. I'll get in touch with Kevin. We'll figure this out. But anyway. All right. Podcast tomorrow with us. Jeffrey will join us. You get a lot of Jeffrey tomorrow. God help you. And then soft verbal with Billy's Pecans tomorrow.
Our rankings feedback tells us that people like Jeffrey.
He is one of our more popular beer gardens. Yes. So Chris Landry beats him out, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So back tomorrow. Check rubblegrub.com. Talk to you then.